Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy fall. The weather is changing. We love that. Good morning. It's so great to see everybody here this morning. Welcome, everybody here in person, online, high out there on in the internet world, and everyone on the patio. If you're new here, please come out to Connection Central, one of the tents outside, and we have a gift for you. We love gifts. We love everything to do with coffee, so that's a little hint about what the gift is. And if you're not new, come out there and say hi, find someone, and we can help you get connected. If you would like to serve, there's all sorts of opportunities out there right now. So just come out and say hi to somebody out there. Say hi to me. I'll be out there. I have a quick scripture to read. This is from Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. If you are able, please stand so we can worship.
Well, Diane, we didn't get the memo for the 10-stringed instrument this morning, so sorry about that. We'll figure that out next week, maybe. 10-stringed instrument, that's awesome. This morning, we just want to acknowledge the fact that we are the body of Christ gathered together to worship. So if we would, before we sing this first song, would you guys just turn together and maybe say this phrase or, you know, say your name, introduce yourself. But we just want to pray this over each other, extend a hand to the person near you and say, may you experience the fullness of God as we worship together. Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you, Jack.
Let's read this scripture from John 1. Jesus turned. He saw them coming after him, and he said to them, what are you looking for? They said, teacher, where do you live? Jesus said, come and see. They went and saw the place where Jesus was staying. The time was about 4:00 in the afternoon, and they stayed with Jesus the rest of the day. Andrew was one of those two followers of John who heard John speak and went after Jesus. He was Simon Peter's brother. The first thing Andrew did then was to find his brother Simon, and he said, we have found the Messiah. John 1, 38 through 41. Let's worship this morning.
Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Oh hero
of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things.
Faithful.
You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You have done great things. God, you do great things.
Oh, hero.
Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken the light. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lives in high. Oh, God, you have done great. Hallelujah, you have done great things. We sing hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hear conquered the grave, you free every captive, you break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awaken the light. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You have done great things. God, you do great to dance again. Your love changes everything. Your love changes everything. Taking me by the hand again. Giving me strength to dance again. Your love changes everything. Your love changes everything. Strength to dance again. Your love changes everything. Your love changes everything. taking me by the hand again, giving me strength to dance again, 'cause your love changes everything. Oh, you never fade. When I look at you, you never fade. And I trust in you, you never let go. You never let go of me, you never let go. Oh, you never fade. When I look at you, you never fail. And I trust in you, you never let go. You never let go of me, you never let go. Taking me by the hand again, you're giving me strength to dance again, 'cause your love changes everything. Your love changes everything. You're taking me by the hand again, you're giving me strength to dance again, 'cause your love changes everything. Your love changes everything. Taking me by the hand again, giving me strength to dance again, 'cause your love changes everything. Your love changes everything. Taking me by the hand again, giving me strength to dance again, 'cause your love changes everything. 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 Lord, you spoke those words. You spoke so tenderly. Now I choose to believe. You love me, you love me, you love me.
Open hands and open hearts. We just recognize those words now. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves us. Yes, Jesus loves us. Yes, God, you love us. Your word, the Bible, tells us so. That's one of your many promises. Thank you, Jesus.
And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. God of Abraham, faithful covenant, faithful promises, time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. Let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Sing, great is your faith. In the middle of the road, and I don't know which way to go. I'll still bless in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my trial. I'll still bless when I'm in the middle of the road, and I don't know which way to go. We will, and I'll still bless you in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my trial. I'll still bless you when I'm in the middle of the road and I don't know which way to go. I'll still bless you in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my trial. I'll still bless you. when I'm in the middle of the road and I don't know which way to go. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. We sing, great is your faithfulness to me.
So God, we just ask that you would be present even now. We are desperate for you. We long for you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all the same. We need you.
We sing, great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. Just your voices. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down.
He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything.
Sing, Lord, you have my heart.
Your
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. Jesus, we thank you for taking the cross that we might have life fully. God, we long for the day where we can see you face to face in the flesh. Until then, Lord, we just pray that our lives would be a living sacrifice for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. Father God, be present. Jesus, be present. Holy Spirit, be present in our gathering. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, seriously, you guys, can we just give God some more praise? I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to get up here. That was so powerful, and I hope you all felt ministered to this morning and just how loved you are by Jesus. Whew, sorry. I almost had to bring my tissue. We would love for the ushers to come down and receive the offering. And I don't know what you all came in with today. And my heart was a little heavy. I'll be honest, those Dodgers broke it just a little bit last night. But I know that we're all carrying just some real life heavy stuff. And I just really hope you just felt surrounded by Jesus this morning. And we do want to, we've been talking the last few weeks just about how you can't outgive God and just how faithful he is. And we thank you for partnering with us and what God is doing here. And if you would like to give online or download our app, we just thank you. And I'm going to be telling you about some things coming up. And again, we invite you to download our app. All the information is there. Next week, we are going to unveil kind of a surprise, something that we're going to be doing as a giving project. And it's going to be great, but all the information is going to be on the app. And it's October. It's a little early to talk about Christmas, right? Don't boo me. Okay. But it is coming, and we just don't want you to miss anything. And again, it's not about filling your schedules up at all. Here, our heart is that you would know and live fully alive in Jesus and what that means. And we feel part of that is living in community and meeting other people and sharing what Jesus has done and will do in your lives. So that is why we tell you about all these different things. And next week is October 31st. It's Fun Day Sunday, and our services are going to continue to meet at 9 and 11. The kiddos will meet down in the parking lot. We do invite them to wear costumes, after the service, we're going to have a little bit of a carnival and just really have a fun day after each one, after the 9 and after the 11. We do need some more candy. We're going to do like a trunk or treat. It's going to be such a fun time. Something else that we need is if you grow pumpkins at your house or you have access to pumpkins, we want every kid to leave with a pumpkin, so we would love that. You can bring those to the front office. And then a week from this Tuesday, on November 2nd, we're going to have our second brunch and Bible time. Last time was just wonderful. We can't wait. It's 10 to 12 in the Life Center. But we do need you to sign up, and you can do that online. You can do that at the connection counters. And we're going to sing hymns. I'm not going to be here, and I'm already bummed I'm going to miss. I know there's something about pork sliders, macaroni and cheese, cinnamon rolls. It's going to be good. Friday, November 5th at the Clark Center will be the James Way Band for First Friday. It will be streamed on their website and their Facebook page. November 7th, for all you men, at 4 o'clock, you're going to be meeting discussing holiday traditions. That sounds really fun. And there's going to be some good food, axe throwing. So again, look on our webpage. Divorce care starts November 17th at 6 p.m. We have grief support starting November 18th at 6 p.m., both in the Life Center. Again, we just invite you to come to Connection Counter and talk to us about it. Go on our website. I don't know about you, but last week I took so many notes in my journal. And again, it was one of those messages that I had to listen to a couple different times. And we invite you, we've put note cards in the seat backs in front of you. And we just invite you to take notes and just get ready for what God has for you this morning. It's going to be good.
It's good to see all of you this morning. I'm glad that you chose to gather with us this morning to worship. And isn't it a refreshing way to start your day? To just acknowledge our Creator, acknowledge our Father and who He is. And it's just an incredible time. And so this morning we're going to continue in our series. It's titled Invite. And this morning we're going to look at what it means to invite the next generation. What it means to pour into the next generation. And it's kind of interesting because as I was looking at this passage and at this title, I actually asked around a few people to see, like, how far do we go in this church as far as age? Because we're a multi-generational church, and so if you're new with us and you haven't been here before and you're checking us out, you'll look around, you'll see lots of ages. And what I found out is we have people who have hit triple digits, like 100, 101, 102. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's pretty incredible. So we have people all the way from 101, 102 in our congregation, watching online, all the way down to the newborn. And when you think about that, that is a lot of generations. And it's a rare time in our lives that we have so many generations. And I think to myself how each one has done life differently. That each and every generation has experienced a little bit of change. We've altered something along the way. We have gotten to a place in which we don't do certain things, and it seems like certain things kind of fall off, change. You know, one of the easiest ways to pick on something that changes is technology, as it has changed how we interact with one another, how we do life. And so this morning, as we start to dive into God's word, I think one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, David every week has made the comment that we should really bring ourselves fully present, like be right here, right now. No matter what you came in with, no matter where you're from, whether you've been here a million times or this is your first time, what he's asked for us to do is to take notes, like Joe was saying, to grab a card in the seat back in front of you, or to pull out your phone, and then just be present. Now, I'm a huge fan of pen and paper. Most, you don't see that because I have an iPad, but it has a pencil on it, believe it or not, so I do write on it. But pen and paper, and the reason is think about the difference between texting on your phone or typing on your phone and literally pen and paper. When we write with pen and paper, we must focus on what we are doing. We must pay attention to what we are gliding across the paper, what we are spelling, what we are intentionally putting down there. And when we do that, we have a tendency to keep it in our minds. We remember it. We could recall it. And not that taking notes on your phone is bad. It's just that we have a tendency to take notes on our phone and then someone texts us or a notification comes up or we just do it real quick and then we don't ever refer back to it. And so this morning, either way, whatever way you choose to take notes this morning, I just encourage you to fully engage. Because what we want for you is to come in one way, whether it was really easy to get here or whether you about lost your mind trying to get here. No matter where you come from or what you're doing, that you know that you can leave here fully alive in Jesus. That each and every person is loved by Jesus. And you're going to hear us say this over and over again here at New Life Church. We want everyone to live fully alive. What does that mean? We want you to live knowing that you are loved by Jesus. Whether you think you deserve it or not, you are. That we're shaped by Jesus, that the things that we do, coming to church, the practices that we put in our lives, the time we spend with the Lord then shapes us. And then we become a people who are so full of his love and his wisdom that we pour it out to others and we start to do what Jesus did. And so this morning as we open up, I want to kind of take us to a place in the Old Testament really quick. We're going to start with what Jesus told us is the greatest command. In Matthew 22, Jesus is asked, what is the most important command? And he says this. He says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. What we see here is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Is quoted out of Deuteronomy, out of the Old Testament, and that's where we're gonna be this morning. So if you brought your Bibles or if you have your phone and you wanna load Deuteronomy is in the first half of the Bible. You can flip just a couple books and you will end up in Deuteronomy, and we're gonna be in chapter 6. And what we're gonna read is the words of Moses as he's teaching the Israelites. And we're gonna focus on verses 4-9. And this is referred to as the Shema, the holiest of the holy words. Words that shaped the Israelites, that were so important to them, that it impacted their lives and it shaped who they were. And my prayer this morning is that they would shape us also as we read them and as we take them in and as we understand them. So beginning in chapter 6, verse 4, it reads like this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So in those first two, three verses I want to look at, verses 4, 5, and 6, that word where it says, listen, O Israel. Moses is teaching the Israelites what God has taught him, and he's passing on that they need to follow the commandments and the decrees and the laws. And he's saying, listen, O Israel, and that word in some of your translations might be hear, but the word is Shema. Shema, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And this is so important because sometimes, and back then also, we have this idea that there are other gods. There are other gods of equal importance. And that God is not God alone. And what he is telling them is there is only one God. There are no other gods. And in this time and in the ancient times, what you would see is that you would live in these different regions and they would have gods for each region. And you would worship the god in the region that you lived in. And if you moved, then you just ditched that god and you started worshiping the god of that region. You just kind of switched your allegiance depending on where you were living. And what Moses is telling us and what we need to remember to ourselves is there is no other god. We don't switch our allegiance. We are fully invested in the one true God, the creator of all of the universe, of heaven and everything on earth. There is no one mightier or greater than him. And when you hear that word Shema, and they refer to this text as the holiest of the holies, what they're saying is I need you to listen. Not just turn one ear right now as you still do the dishes. Not kind of just type on your phone and just give me a little bit of your time or your attention, but I need your whole being to listen to what I'm about to say. The whole 4-9. I need you to listen. Be still. Be quiet. Receive. Receive the wisdom of God the Father. And he goes on in verse 5. And he says, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And I think about those words. All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Think about your heart and what it falls in love with. Think about the people that we fall in love with, that we, once that happens and our heart starts to have that weird heartbeat because we are just so enamored with someone. And we start to have this pull where we want to be with them all the time, and our heart is full when we're around them, and we feel like we're complete. And with all your soul, with all your thoughts, your emotions, your spiritual life, you must love the Lord with your all of your being. And what I find interesting is when our heart is in love and it is enamored with someone where it cannot get enough, we start dwelling on it. We start thinking about it. Our emotions start to follow. We want our whole presence to be there. And then all of a sudden, we start moving towards what we love. And when he says, with all of your strength, have you ever really thought what it means to be fully, fully invested in God? As a church and as brothers and sisters, what it would mean to put our whole selves in him and in his presence to gain his wisdom, to understand him and to deepen our relationship with who he is. See, if we're this invested, if we are giving all of ourselves to him, there's no room for anything else. There's no room to have allegiance to anyone else or to anything else because we're fully, fully committed. We can't fall in love with anything else. And he goes on in verse 6 and said, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. See, the greatest commandment takes total commitment. The greatest commandment takes total commitment. We have to be all in. It's not a partial. It's not like on one day I'm going to give my heart and, you know, and then the next day I'll give a little bit more. This is a every day, all the time, being all in to trust and obey God the Father. Now, I know when I said trust, some people are like, I don't know. In this day and age, I know that people struggle to trust, that we struggle to trust one another. What we're being told, what we read, what we see on social media, what we hear on the news, we don't know which is true and which is leading us astray. And I will tell you now that the Word of God will never lead you astray. The Shema, the holiest of holy words, are words that is a command that it says you must love the Lord your God. It's not optional. And this will not lead you astray, but it will build you up. It will bring you to a transformed place in which you are the people that God created you to be, where we become more and more like him. Because what we fill up with, what we spend time doing, the quiet and the be still and the reading of his word and the listen, we fill with the wisdom of God and his love, and then what happens? It starts to pour out of us, in which we can love our neighbor when Jesus says that that is the second greatest. That we are love our neighbor. We can love others and outwardly be relational like we're supposed to. But it starts with us obeying him. It starts with us taking some time and asking ourselves, are we seeking the Father's wisdom and will for our lives? And as Moses teaches this, he starts with that. He's challenging us and he's reminding and he's saying, this is what you must do. And then he picks up in verse 7 and he says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you are going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. See, this message to the Israelites. It was to fill them full of God's love and wisdom in order that they can have conversations with their children and with their children's children, no matter where they're at, where they're on the road. They have this, I read some areas where they said, where if you were repeating that you need to love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and you're walking down the road saying those words, that your friend is not to interrupt you. That is how important it was. For the Israelites, they would strap it to their head. There was a custom that the Jewish people had. They had these, I forget what it's called, phylacteries. I think that's how it's said. Phylacteries, whoever said that. Thank you. And so they were these little boxes, and they would have inside it parchment with this verse written on it. And they would strap it to their foreheads, and they would kneel down every morning, and they'd put on their prayer shawls. And they would repeat this to themselves, repeat it to themselves. And then they would quote it to their children. And by the time their kids could talk, this is what they would repeat. Think about it. When Jesus was a little boy, this is the first thing he would quote. Do we say this to ourselves? Do we follow the commands that he asks us to follow? See, the Israelites found this so important that they wanted to deepen their relationship with him no matter what, spending time reminding themselves. And this has been an interesting passage to read, because the first thing I said to myself is, am I doing this? Are we doing this? Are we following this command? Are we repeating this to ourselves? Are we obeying? Are we loving the Lord your God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength? Do we see God as the only God in our lives, the one true God? And I think the hard part is that as we've watched from generation to generation, go from going to church and even those raised in our homes, we see a decline in the people who actually proclaim to be Christian. We see a decline, and from generation to generation, a certain percentage of people dropping off. And they're not identifying as Christian at all. They're raised in Christian homes. They're raised in the church. They went to youth group. And as adults, they're saying, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't know if we know this or not, but Generation Z, which is our young people, our teenagers, our 20-somethings, they have the fastest growing religious group there is right now. The fastest growing. And they're called the nuns. Not nuns that are Catholic nuns, but the nuns. They are the ones who, if you ask them, hey, are you Baptist? Are you Nazarene? Are you Catholic? They check the box that says, I am nothing. They are the fastest growing group in our country right now. Just think about that. Now, I know some of us have a tendency to instantly point fingers and blame and give reasons why, because this generation isn't doing fill in the blank. Or their parents, which welcome to my generation, is Generation X. We are the parents of Generation Z. So it's like you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I'm doing a terrible job as a parent. Great. But is that really true? None of us are perfect. And we have a tendency when we go from generation to generation and we start looking at our generation, we say some pretty strange things. Like, I walked to school 20 miles uphill both ways in the snow. That's pretty much said because we're saying that I had it more difficult than you did. We tell people to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and just get over it. Why? We have a tendency to blame and point fingers and say that millennials are really lazy, or they just can't be employed, or they can't keep a job. How come they don't have jobs for 25 years? I've been at the same job for 25 years. Well, you didn't seem very happy about being at the same job for 25 years. Right? Some of us can remember our parents telling us they're going to stay there till it kills them. Like, that's where they're going to do. But think about our words and what we say to one another and how we get into this competition about generations, as if we're going to pump up our chest and say that ours is better than yours. instead of looking at one another and saying, how can I help you be the person you need to be? How do we pour into this generation? Or last week that Pastor David said, how do we bless one another? Are we supposed to be in a competition with one another? Or are we supposed to be looking at one another and saying, we're in this together. I'm here to pass on the wisdom that I have gained. Own my flaws. I remember when I was a little kid, my parents would say, there's two things you don't talk about, politics and religion. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know what either of those are, but that's totally fine. Like, and just having no clue. But my parents, that was something that they wanted to make sure we didn't do at someone else's house. Don't bring up those things. It was taboo. And what I realized later on is it brings up conflict and strange conversations. But man, I wish someone would have brought up religion because I had no clue. I had no idea what the inside of a church looked like when I was young. I had never been in a church. I had never been in a wedding that was in a church. I had never seen a church. I don't even think I noticed a church as I went by it. We had zero affiliation with any religion. None whatsoever. I knew that people yelled out God when they were sick. That was it. But see, I think sometimes we have a tendency to blame one another and blame the current generation for their flaws, for not being Christian, for not coming to church, instead of looking at ourselves and saying, have I been doing what I need to do? Bringing myself before the Lord, bringing my family before the Lord. Do I quote scriptures? Do I have open discussions about tough topics? Do we talk about what it means to have wisdom from the Lord? Or do we tell people, figure it out for yourself? Just go with whoever you are. Be unique. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be unique, and I'm not saying you shouldn't think for yourself, but what about seek God's wisdom? Seek God's word. Ask the tough questions. Talk about the difficult subjects. I think about how they were repeating this to themselves over and over again. There's only one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And they were able to talk to their children about it. They were able to have those conversations. They talked to their friends on the road about it. It didn't matter if you were in your walls or if you were outside your walls. And it didn't matter who they were talking to because God was always in front of them. We never want to lose sight of him. And I know some people here maybe today are saying, I don't have children. I'm not married. I don't fit this mold. Here's another sermon about something I don't fit into. And I'm here to tell you, it takes an entire village. You are on this earth for a purpose. You have purpose and you have a role to play in any person that's in your life. I'll tell you right now, some of the most influential people in my life are not related to me. I have an example here. I was opening my Bible for this. I wanted to read directly out of it and hold the Bible in my hand, remind myself how important this was, and I came across this letter in which the day that I was going down to get my first district license, and they were going to grant me the title of pastor if I passed, I received this letter in my box. And this is from Travis Evans. Travis is going to be 99 years old this month. And I opened it up and I read it again. I read it every year that I go down to be interviewed, in which they tell you whether or not you can continue to hold the pastor title. And I open it up because inside this letter is nothing about Travis, but everything about the Word of God and the responsibility that I'm going to carry if I'm going to hold this title, if I'm going to be a shepherd. And this man, who was more than a generation older than me, took the time to encourage me, to remind me of the responsibility, to love on me, to be a fisher of men. And that it was important. And he didn't want me to do it flippantly. And he also wanted me to know, and the others who were going down with me, that he's praying for us. He knows what it's like. And I thank you for that. I greatly do. Every year, I read this letter. I don't want to just say that there is all of this terribleness and we've dropped the ball and we have caused Generation Z to tank. There is hope. There is hope. How do we resolve this? How do we turn the ship? And so how do we become a congregation, brothers and sisters, the church who invite the next generation? And in this situation, Travis and I are not in the same generation, but he's inviting me in and he was telling me that I can do this. And I'm telling you now, the way we reach the next generation is one way is to invite. How many of us take the time to look at the people around us and invite them? And I'm not saying invite them to church necessarily, though that would be great. Invite them to Bible study or invite them to youth group. What about inviting them to your home, to a meal, for a walk? Rubbing shoulders with the people that we live near, that we do life in our community with, who maybe are not like us, but you know what? Jesus loves them. They might not know him yet, but they can. What about empowering and modeling? You know, I think about this where Moses starts off and he's telling us what we gotta do. It starts with us. What are we doing? Are we bringing ourselves before him? Are we filling up with the wisdom and the word and the love and then walking it out? To love our neighbor as ourselves. To have patience, kindness. Do we have these things? And if we don't, we can. And there's no way I want you to be here this morning and think, oh, I guess I missed it. No. At this moment, right here, right now, God is here. And he can change our hearts and he can change our lives and he can empower us and he can empower us to empower the next generation. But see, empowering the next generation means that we have to also brace ourselves for something. There's going to be change. And man, how many of us do not like change? How many of us literally want things to be the way they were when you were young? Well, it's not going to be. And here's the thing. I will hear people sometimes say, well, it's the way we've always done it. This is how we're going to do it. It's the way we've always done it. And I think to myself, what you're telling me then is that's as good as it gets with God. He can't get any more creative than when that was it right there. So we need to keep doing it that way. But I don't think that we worship a God who is like, I'm tapped out. That was all the creativity I had. It's the only way I can draw people. If you don't keep doing it that way, we're doomed. No, we serve a God who sees generation and generation of troubles and changes and world events and the way we're raised and not raised. And so what he does is he reminds us in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. We serve a God who can wade through the muck, who can see us and know we need a new spark. He sees each and every one of us in this room and who are online and says, I'm gonna use you. Are you willing to let me work through you to reach your neighbor, the next generation, our young people? Will you allow me to work through you and empower them? Hold on to me. Don't hold on to what was. Hold on to me. It's good that we have things that we love when we were younger. Or the way the church was back whenever. That's great. And those mean something. But we want those same memories and those same experiences to happen with our newer generations. So this morning, we're going to take communion. and another person in my life who has poured into my life for the last 15 years of my life is Pastor Vince Lamas. And so he's going to come up and he's going to lead us in communion. And I asked Pastor Vince to do this for a few reasons. And that is because in our 15 years, we have been through a lot. We have seen change. We have seen leadership change. We have seen people change, and layers of the way we do counseling has changed. It's all changed. And what we find is that through this time and through the change and through the weirdness, Vince has never left my side. Every week, he has some sarcastic thing to say to me. And every week, he reminds me that he loves me and he thinks I'm doing a good job. And there's times I've come to him and said, I don't think I can do this, and he just smiles. And he tells me historically what I've been able to do. And he reminds me what God has done and how God's come through, and that I need to lean on that and not just run to him or someone else. He is my mentor for the ordination process. And so this morning, what I wanted, as we talk about generations, if you've never experienced Vince, we joke around here, he's an angel. The only angel we got on staff right now. And I want him to lead us in the Lord's Supper. And just take this time to think about where you're at. Surrender it to him. Lay it at his feet. Maybe this is a good time to put your whole self before him. Thanks, Vince. Thanks, Gina. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pastor Gina. Great message. And so as we prepare to take communion, it is a great opportunity to think about how much God loves us, right? And so a challenging message, but a message of hope, because we come here today to worship a God who loves us with an everlasting love. And that love is seen most clearly in Jesus' death on the cross, right? That when our Lord gave his life for us and went to that cross. And so if you take your elements, and hold that bread, remember what Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Let's take the bread. And then in his great love for us, he said, "This cup represents the blood, my blood that was shed for you, because I love you." Let's take the cup.
And as you walk out this morning, my prayer is that the words you repeat to yourself are that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And that you remember that we serve no other God but the one true God who loves you, sees you, and never loses sight of you. And so, name in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I just pray you have a blessed day. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, please come forward.